KaiserNetwork.org.
This is Larry Levitt from KaiserNetwork.org. Newly released studies from the Kaiser Commission on Medicaid and the Uninsured suggest that state budgetary pressures are easing. Medicaid spending growth is coming down, while state tax revenues are heading up. We're joined by three policy experts who participated in a briefing on these new studies. Diane Rowland is Executive Director of the Commission and the Executive Vice President of the Kaiser Family Foundation. Alan Weil is a former state Medicaid official and Executive Director of the National Academy of State Health Policy. And Vern Smith from Health Management Associates conducted a survey of states on Medicaid spending and policy initiatives. Vern, let's start with you. State budgetary pressures are easing. Give us a sense of what you found over the last couple of years and what's driving the changes in Medicaid spending.
Well, the economic downturn has been brutal on state finances over the last few years, and as a result, the states have scaled back their programs in every way, and Medicaid has been one of the programs certainly that states have had to focus on because it's so large. So it's been a difficult time, perhaps the most difficult 3 or 4 years in the history of the program. But the good news that we found is that state revenues are beginning to rebound a little bit, and maybe there's a little hope where there wasn't so much the last few years.
And Medicaid spending growth has come down as well. I mean, it's the third state year of declines in the increase in Medicaid.
Right. Medicaid spending growth is slowing. Medicaid spending increased at around 7.5% in 2005. That was the slowest rate of growth since 1999. And it has increased at a slower rate each year for each of the last 3 years. And based on original appropriations, we may be seeing a continuation of that trend into 2006.
And what do you think of the factors behind the slowdown? Is it slower enrollment growth? Is it cost containment initiatives by states? What's going on in the larger healthcare system?
Well, there are a lot of factors at play here, but one of the most important is a slowing in the rate of growth in the number of people on the program. The number of people on the program is still growing, but it increased at only around 4% in 2005, and the projections, on average, around the country, would be for a further slowing in 2006, only around 3.1% in 2006. And that, again, would be the slowest rate of growth in Medicaid enrollment growth since 1999.
And Alan, you said before that Medicaid is working as you'd expect it to work and as it was intended to work. Explain what you mean by that in this context.
Well, by design, the Medicaid program, for example, is countercyclical. So we just went through an economic downturn, and enrollment climbed and costs grew, and that's what it's supposed to do. In fact, it's because of Medicaid and CHIP that while adults who don't have as good coverage were losing their coverage through their employment, their kids, when they lost coverage, they were picked up by these important safety net programs. So in one respect, it's doing what it's designed because it's compensating for what's happening in the broader economy. It's also doing what's designed because states are the primary drivers of Medicaid policy. And again, they made cost containment and cost saving decisions, scaling back in ways that sometimes were very painful when they couldn't afford it. But as we see the fiscal pressure easing, you see a little loosening on some of the administrative barriers to enrollment. You see states beginning to try to pay their providers a little bit better when they've been freezing or sometimes cutting payment rates. And you see states continuing to make efforts to contain costs in pharmacy and disease and case management. So that's all very intentional in the fundamental structure of the program.
And there's, you know, even with the easing of the fiscal pressures, there's still a movement to make changes to Medicaid, both at the state and the federal level. What kind of drives that almost perpetual desire to make changes to Medicaid?
Well, at one level, the perpetual desire is because this is a large and complicated program, and we should constantly be thinking about how to improve it. In fact, sometimes when I hear people say, you know, this is a program stuck in 1965 when it was enacted, in fact, it's almost it's almost impossible to imagine it having changed more with the times than it has. So it does deserve regular reconsideration. But I think the primary driver in state and federal discussions about Medicaid today are budgets. And states have gone through this very difficult time, and even though it's getting better, it's still a pressure for them. They have other priorities. And the federal government is interested in trying to hold down costs, potentially certainly reduce the rate of growth in the program. I would say that it's money that's primarily driving the Medicaid debate today.
It is, you know, if you look at the current financing of Medicaid, which is a shared state and federal responsibility from states' perspective, and you talk to state officials every day, you know, is this a financing mechanism that they feel works for them?
Well, the general notion of sharing the financial responsibility for Medicaid between the states and the federal government is broadly accepted by states and by state officials. No state could imagine doing what Medicaid does completely on its own. There is always a tension. States would like a little more flexibility, and they want that in various ways. But they don't want the federal government to give up on their commitment. So in general, I would say the structure is supported. Now, one of the set of findings from the report that Vern released today has to do with places where states are feeling like the federal government isn't being a particularly good partner. From a financing perspective, that has to do with the state costs associated with the new prescription drug benefit in Medicare. It has to do with state audits and retrospective reviews of how states are financing their programs. And it has to do with the federal match rate, which is declining for 29 states in this coming year. So the general notion of shared financing is broadly viewed as desirable, but states... There are areas where states are concerned about that.
And Diane, I mean, Medicaid growth has slowed. It's still growing faster than state revenues and than many other state programs. Is that necessarily a bad thing that that's happening?
Well, I think the reality we have to remember about Medicaid is a program that's buying health care services for very low income and very sick, in many cases, individuals. And health care costs are growing in the United States, not just in the Medicaid program, but overall, so that what we really are seeing is Medicaid trying to pick up its share and fill the holes in our health care system. So while it puts great pressure on the state budgets, it also is a response to a health care system that leaves millions of people without coverage who are uninsured, and it can try and address that. So I would say some growth in the program is reflective of the program doing its job, trying to fill the holes in our healthcare system. But as Alan pointed out, what the real reality is how do we pay for this and finance it? And I think it is putting more pressure, especially in bad economic times, on state budgets than they can withstand.
And this, I mean, in terms of Medicaid filling these holes in the larger healthcare system, we saw that, for example, in recent years as employer coverage dropped. Medicaid picked up that slack and in fact, prevented an increase in the percent of the population uninsured.
That's right. Medicaid has largely been offsetting some of the losses of coverage, as Alan noted, for children especially. And the other piece of Medicaid that we should recognize is that it does help in economic downturns to pick up some of the families that lose their coverage through employer-based cutbacks, as well as the fact that during the last economic downturn, we also saw an increase in the federal commitment to the program to help states through their fiscal crunch. And I think that's an important thing to look at in the future of can we make better adjustments in the availability of federal support to the states during these economic downturns.
And that there was a sort of temporary increase in federal support for states, which has now expired.
Right. But during the time when the federal government put some additional federal resources in and increased the matching rate, in our last report, Vern was able to note that states had been able to not take some of the negative steps they had planned to take in terms of enrollment changes because they had that additional federal support.
There's also some evidence in the reports that states are now taking some actions, not just to save money, but to increase the number of people on the program and increase the coverage of Medicaid and the SCHIP programs. Do you have a sense that there is a kind of growing will on the part of the states to use these programs to expand coverage for the uninsured?
Well, I think that our surveys that we've done now over the last 5 years all demonstrate how valuable states think this program is in terms of helping to provide health care coverage to its citizens and also helping to address the growing uninsured problem. And this year, I think we saw states turn around some of the changes they'd made when they saw that it was actually contributing to increasing the uninsured rates in their states. and also trying to move to really cover more people. So I think it's a clearer sign that this is a program that is valued, and it's just one that's costly to finance. And if money were freely available, I think we'd see the uninsured problem addressed largely through these programs.
Yeah, only if.
Only if.
Vern, one of the hallmarks of, or one of the things that defines Medicaid is it is a state-federal partnership, and there are 50 different Medicaid programs. One of the things you found is that while Medicaid spending is slowing, the fiscal picture is improving, that the effects are uneven across states. Give us a sense of how some of that has played out regionally.
Well, there's wide variation across the country in how state revenues are rebounding. So that has had an effect on what states could do. So there is variation, and some states have still had to be fairly aggressive in what they've done to kind of control the rate of growth in spending. I think it's noteworthy when we talk about the different shares that states pay or that states and the federal government pays, that because of the decline in federal matching rates that's occurring in many states, 29 states in 2006 compared to 2005, when states made their original appropriation of 5.5% in total spending, they had to increase their appropriation of their state funds by 8.7%. And this, I think, is just another indicator of how resilient the program is, how strong the support for the program. Even in very difficult times, states have been willing to authorize spending increases that exceeded their revenue growth, certainly exceeded their growth in the overall total budget.
And what do you see looking ahead the next couple years? What kind of changes do you see states making, whether it's in waivers or cost control initiatives or efforts to expand coverage to the uninsured?
Well, there is one thing about the period of time that we've gone through. It has forced states to kind of step back and do an evaluation of what their program is, what it means to them, and maybe how it should be structured for the future. So we have at least half the states right now looking at some kind of Medicaid reform approach, some case an expansion that would extend coverage to additional groups, but in some cases proposing some fundamental restructuring in the program. And I think one of the interesting things to watch as we go over the next couple of years is exactly how states respond to this and move forward with some of the initiatives they have in terms of Medicaid reform at the state level.
And Alan, in terms of, I mean, you talked about sort of the financing being an issue here. Looking ahead the next few years, I mean, there is an ongoing debate at the federal level about the program. Where do you see that moving? Where do you see the financial relationship between the federal government and the states changing, or where do you see state officials wanting that relationship to go?
Well, states have consistently asked for a larger federal share of funding for the program, and there are a lot of different ways you can structure that, and over the years, states have floated different ideas. I think it's interesting that when the federal government chose to add a prescription drug benefit to Medicare, covering a large number of people who are also on Medicaid and therefore costing the program a great deal of money, instead of the states getting the benefit of the federal government picking that up, they have the so-called clawback, which makes sure that the states pay their share, which, depending on who you ask, may be at least as much, in some instances more than they would have paid anyway. So the federal government right now is quite resistant to any state efforts to have the federal government pick up a larger share of funding. There have been periodic discussions that long-term care might be a federal responsibility or services for the elderly because it ties in with Medicare. Because all of these have budget implications for the federal government, no matter how many times the governors repeat that that's their desire, they don't seem to go very far.
Well, Diane, you get the final word here. You know, with some of the fiscal pressures easing, some of the debate about the value of Medicaid in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, do you have a sense that maybe the perception of Medicaid is changing compared to recent years, both among the public but particularly among state and federal policymakers?
Well, certainly I think we've seen from survey work we've done that the public has a value for Medicaid that was not what we had expected, that they really know that the program is there to help them with long-term care. They know that the program also is important in providing health insurance coverage. So I think that we are seeing some people recognize the value of the program, but the fiscal fights over how to pay for it are probably going to determine more than the value of the program what happens to it.
And in some sense, that's an outgrowth of our recent experience, that even though the fiscal pressures are easing, the financing, the larger financing questions and how to pay for the program still remain.
You're right.
Well, Diane Rowland, Alan Weil, Vern Smith, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.